You're listening to the Parkway Podcast.
Obedience may cost in a moment of time or over a period of time, but he never ever tests us above what we are able. The question is, are we willing to surrender all when it comes to obedience? I can't end without saying that we live in a world of noise and expectations by our culture, and sometimes even within the body of Christ. What the Lord has showed me over the years is that he isn't interested in outshouting the enemy. He's asking us to listen to his soft, gently promptings from the Holy Spirit. And he has the option of taking us steps at a time. And I've come to look at those small steps as miracles on the way to what he wanted to reveal to me and how he wanted to bring me more in love with Jesus.
Hi, this episode is from our prayer and worship nights. We gather every Sunday night at 5 p.m. for a deeper and intense style service. Each Sunday night features a new worship team and a speaker from various ministries here at Parkway. The service ends with a time of intentional prayer as we respond to God's word, pray for our community, and pray for one another. If you missed a service, you can catch up on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, YouTube Podcasts, or online at parkwaycc.com/sermons.
We are excited to hear from Keith what the Lord has laid on his heart. I got a feeling this is going to be red hot, so buckle up.
Thank you. I don't know about y'all, but sometimes there comes a time in my life where things just seem to stagnate. And I was at that point where I'd done a lot in the church, done a lot of serving, done a lot of things. And yet I kind of felt like a person who is in the desert, that's dry, thirsting for water, and he sees a mirage of water and he runs to it. And when he gets there, there's nothing. And I'd reached that point. And then the summer of 82, Nancy and I, along with the youth group, went for the second time to the Apache Reservation, the White Mountain in Arizona. And we ended up cooking. We weren't supposed to do that. We were just supposed to be assistant cooks. But Ron and Gail Marsh were assigned to another church, so guess who ended up cooking? And it was before that I decided what I'm going to say next. It had nothing to do with my cooking, okay? And that was that God had impressed on me that I needed to fast and pray. And so I started fasting and praying, and God brought to my mind Isaiah 58 and how his people were complaining about the fact that he never seemed to answer them. And he says, "You're doing it the wrong way." And so I read all of it, and when it really started hitting me was verses 9 through 12. And by the way, I was in trouble for fasting during that time, was told by my wife and by the pastor's wife that wasn't the time to do it. And yet I knew it was. And verses 9 through 12 of Isaiah says, "If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing of the finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairers of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. And the words that hit me from Scripture was, "Come unto me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." And one of my favorites, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord." Out of that realization in those verses and from Isaiah came the realization that I had to surrender something to the Lord, which now seemed to have cost me more than what I had realized up to that point. Now he was asking me to be obedient. Not to do things, but to be obedient to him. And those who know me well, it had to be the Lord speaking about obedience. I had to be obedient in a way that would make me face something I had buried. For over 30 years. And it was a vow I had made when I was 7 years old. I had vowed that I would never forgive. My biological father for the way he treated my mom and us as children. I'd gone so far that as an adult, I refused to go see him as he was dying. He had abandoned me as a child. I owed him nothing. At 1 a.m. in that cook shack, as I was reading Isaiah 58, the Lord confronted me with the need to forgive my father. Because you see, he had passed away. And the Lord said, although it's too late for your father, it's not too late for you. First part of Isaiah 58 really jumped at me to let me know that I had been like the Pharisees, fasting and praying and wondering if he would go ahead and answer my prayer, which he did in verses 9 through 12. So I ask the Lord for forgiveness and ask him to help me not to speak of my biological father's hurt again and heal that part of my life. I also ask him to take away the shame and guilt. That I felt at not speaking to my father about the Lord. Freedom replaced the yoke of unforgiveness and shame. The words that came back to me also after that freedom was restored by the Holy Spirit were the words, your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You'll be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets and dwellings. What did that mean? Well, you know, the Lord doesn't always answer us right away. He lets us search many times. What do you mean by that? About a year and a half later, he revealed a plan for the ministry that he would allow us to serve in. And I could serve it with Nancy. It wouldn't be just me. His plan for us as a couple was to help those preparing for marriage or help those who might be walking through struggles in their marriage. Hard lesson to learn. And you'd think that a lesson learned would live with you. Well, I'm not stubborn, but I have a lot of willpower. So fast forward, if you will, 10 or 11 years. Our youngest daughter comes home during her junior year in high school with several gifts from a boyfriend. Yeah, who said, oh, yeah, I hear you. Your time's coming. I just thought I'd encourage you. I looked at the gifts and I told her, that's too many gifts. You need to give them back. And so she says to me, okay. But, you know, this ring isn't a promise ring. It's just a friendship ring. Can I keep it? So I'm thinking, we have a close relationship. If I say no, it could hurt that relationship. And the Lord's on the other side saying, you need to see it from my point of view. And I'm saying, no. I need to keep the close relationship so that when I say something important, she would listen. And you know, the Holy Spirit doesn't let you alone. He doesn't. If he has something for you to do, you have a choice of walking through it again over a period of time, or you listen to him and try to rectify it right away. So several days later, I took Tiffany out on the back porch and I said, honey, I've got to tell you that I allowed you to keep the ring, but it was from a selfish reason. And the reason is because I value our relationship so highly. I was afraid of disrupting it, but the Lord has spoken to me the last several days, and you have to give the ring back. She agreed to do it. She didn't even argue. Daniel 9:9 states, "To the Lord our God belongs compassion and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against him." God showed compassion and he showed forgiveness to me. And you know, when you go to your own child and say, "I need your forgiveness," it humbles you. But what's even more humbling is when they listen, and they listen to the Holy Spirit. You know, up to that time, I didn't realize that telling a little white lie might influence someone's life in the future. And it could have influenced her life. You'd think I'd learned something about forgiveness, right? Well, I'd learned that I needed to forgive someone who had hurt me. Now I've learned that I needed to forgive myself and have the Holy Spirit help me forgive myself when I could have told a white lie and affected somebody's future. A perspective I'd never thought of before. So now I've got forgiveness down pat, right? Well, I think I need more than two lessons. About 8 years after that incident, Tiffany called. Or I shouldn't say Tiffany called. About 8 years later, her new boyfriend to me called and asked for my blessing for him to marry her, as he planned on asking her to marry in a very romantic setting, the skyline in Chicago. And I'm thinking, number one, I'm not a real romantic person, ask my wife, you know. And that rubbed me the wrong way. I'd never met him face to face. That rubbed me the wrong way. So guess what? I was rude to him. I said, "You're kind of late asking that. You don't need to talk to me here. I'm going to give the phone to your future mother-in-law." And I cut him off just like that. Those were the first words to my future son-in-law. But again, the Lord takes care of things like that. After they got back from Chicago, Tiffany was interviewing to become the communication director for Wheaton College, and he was visiting his grandma and grandpa. He wrote a letter to me asking for forgiveness. And so then he called and says, "When we come down the next time, can we talk?" And we did. We went out and we talked, and guess what? I had to ask him for forgiveness. And I got to tell you that I learned something from there too. So I had hurt someone, and I had to ask for forgiveness. I could have lost a relationship with my youngest daughter and with her husband with my reaction. And through these three different instances, Bible verse that came to me that describes how the Lord can be trusted and he speaks the truth, Joel 2:25, and I will restore the years that the locusts have eaten. 2 Corinthians 5:17, the old has passed away, all has become new in Jesus Christ. Isaiah 40:31, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They'll soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint. Taking his time and way to teach me, no matter what it is at the time, allows me to see from the perspective of the Holy Spirit, not from my perspective. To be able to see through his eyes, his redeeming love, his unconditional love. I can't tell you how freeing that is. What an amazing, amazing God we serve. That's not the end of the story. God has a way of giving you a gift that you never expect. And a gift that, again, brings back awe of who he is and how he does things. Fast forward now. Adam and Tiff are going to celebrate their 25th anniversary this coming August. They've done an amazing job of walking with the Lord and raising their son. February 27th of this year, Adam called me. And shared with me his what the Lord had shared with him the day before. And he's on his way to pick up his son. They had to pick him up at Hillsdale College because they had a funeral to go to that afternoon of a fellow high school runner who had been killed in a car accident. He says, but you know, I want to share what the Holy Spirit has come over me and shared with me. And it came from my devotion yesterday, and this is what it was. That which friendship cannot do, and mere benevolence will not attempt, a father's heart can and must do for his sons. If an earthly father watches over his children with unceasing love and care, how much more does our heavenly Father? And he repeated, he says, what God gave me, what the Holy Spirit came on me and said was that God had not only given me an earthly spiritual father, but I am so blessed. He also gave me a spiritual father-in-law. Wow. I was blown away. I can't tell you how much it means. And I couldn't reply for a while because I didn't know what to say. All I could say was thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for taking me one step at a time through the years. Once again, you showed me how great you are and your grace and your mercy. Once again, I was in awe of who he is and his kind way of humbling me. Obedience may cost in a moment of time or over a period of time, and it may be through humbling periods of time, but he never ever tests us above what we are able. The question is, are we willing to surrender all when it comes to obedience? I can't end without saying that we live in a world of noise and expectations by our culture, and sometimes even within the body of Christ. What the Lord has showed me over the years is that he isn't interested in outshouting the enemy. He's asking us to listen to his soft, gently promptings from the Holy Spirit. And he has the option of taking us steps at a time. And I've come to look at those small steps as miracles on the way to what he wanted to reveal to me and how he wanted to bring me more in love with Jesus. Any way you look at it, whether it's small steps that are miracles or a huge step of somebody being healed miraculously, any way you look at it, he accomplishes, and how he goes about it is birthed out of his love and his care for us. In closing, there are three things which was impressed on me as the Holy Spirit led me through those specific illustrations I shared. Jesus, who was fully man and fully God, as he hung on the cross through forgiveness, conquered the natural man by being obedient to the Father. Luke 23:34 says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Matthew 18:18 says, "I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." When I forgave my father, the Lord was free to loose his grace to give me freedom from the past and the shame and guilt of it. When I find myself becoming too busy, or as Pastor Marsh said, being too busy means you may need to become aware of the fact the acronym for busy is being buried under Satan's yoke. This is what I did in my early years until I got burned out. And I became like that man in the desert that saw the illusion of spring, of a lake to drink from. I think Samuel 15:22 says it well. "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as much as obeying the Lord?" To obey is better than sacrifice. Had to learn that the hard way. I've learned to question what I'm doing and why. Number three and last is the image of Jesus on the cross when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." He didn't go to the cross because it felt good. It was the final challenge of that part of the natural man versus the spiritual man. It was the demonstration of what Samuel had said. Jesus, who chose obedience to his Father out of love, demonstrated that sacrifice doesn't lead to obedience, but just the opposite. Obedience leads to a sacrifice given out of love, which changes us and allows him, by his Holy Spirit, to allow the stream of living water to flow through us to others who need to drink of that water. God is good. He loves you. And I just encourage you to love him more, because you can't outlove God. Father, I just thank you for the lessons you've given me, the perspective that you've shared with me on how you see things. Father, and that's the important things. The story that you, of the things you took me through are okay. But the main thing is, Father, that you allowed me to see things from your perspective. And that changes everything. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are.
Thank you, Keith, for being very vulnerable and showing that in this family, it's a safe place where you can share the deep things of your heart and some of the stuff you've been through. I love you, brother. You know that. Thank you.